रिकॉर्डिंग स्टार्टेड कूल
सेम रिकॉर्डिंग यहाँ पे भी स्टार्टेड है जैसे एक बार बोल देना आई जस्ट वांट टू सी इफ योर्स इज गेटिंग रिकॉर्डेड
ओके सो टुडे वी आर गोना बी टॉकिंग अबाउट द Nokia 5.3 व्हिच इज वन ऑफ द वेरी फ्यू स्मार्टफोन्स दैट आई लाइक एक्चुअली
कूल परफेक्ट चलो हेलो एवरीवन एंड वेलकम टू ऑर्बिटल द गैजेट 360 पॉडकास्ट इन टुडेज एपिसोड वी आर गोइंग टू बी टॉकिंग अबाउट द Nokia 5.3 एंड द एंड्रॉइड 1 ecosystem and the future of this thing. So this is a topic that's very close to our hearts simply because the Nokia rejuvenation that happened before that brought about a few really nice things. First of all, we got Nokia phones in the market again. A lot of us, because we used these Nokia devices in the 90s and in the 2000s, we are pretty attached to that brand. And we saw Nokia smartphones once again after the company sort of disappeared after going exclusive with Windows Phone. Then they came back to Android. And then we saw that the company was also on Android One. So for us who are like enthusiasts, we like that clean stock Android and we like to customize it our way. And as opposed to, you know, getting a customized version of Android given to us with a lot of bloatware. So a lot of clean software and guarantee of security and software updates was given with these devices. And we were pretty excited to see what the company could do. But over a period of time, we are now looking at the phones that this company is launching. And we're wondering whether it's competitive enough to succeed in the Indian market. So a lot of these themes will be discussed in this episode because Aditya Shenoy, who's our in-house Android expert and also somebody who's very, very, very passionate about stock Android and also that clean UI, etc. He's here with us and he's also the one who's reviewed the Nokia 5.3. Hi, Aditya. Good to have you here again. Yeah, and I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So, Aditya, first, I think before we talk about the Nokia 5.3 itself, maybe it's a good time to take a step back and look at this Android One program. So, a quick background for this would be when Android One first came around to India in a big way, Google had a huge marketing campaign and they had partnered with all Indian brands such as Intex, Lava, Carbon, etc. And they had said that these will be budget phones that run a clean UI and will be getting updates much faster. So at that time, the tagline was something like Apni Kismat Apne Haath, and we had seen huge hoardings, newspaper ads and whatnot. From there, that program didn't go anywhere. After a point, we all know what happened. These companies just did not make enough Android One devices and the ones that they made did not succeed in the market. So then the next stage of the program was where Google partnered with manufacturers and those people kept launching these devices. So of those, we have some prominent examples such as the Xiaomi Mi A series like Mi A1, A2, A3, the three phones that were launched. Apart from that, we've also had Nokia jumping in a huge way on Android One. With I think all the devices that they're launching nowadays, you know, apart from their feature phones, obviously, being on Android One. And I think we also had some Motorola devices which were on Android One. Now, if you look at it, Xiaomi has only one series of phones on Android One now. Motorola used to be on Android One with their Motorola One Power and other phones that were there at that time. But nowadays, their newer devices are not Android One, even if they carry that one name in the branding. And we have Nokia, which can almost be looked at as that, you know, final defender of Android One. So how do you feel about this whole change and where do you think this is going?
True. So honestly, you know, the Android One series came to India back in 2014, 2015 types, wherein Google partnered with Spice. They partnered with Carbon and I think they also partnered with Lava for multiple Android One smartphones, and the main point that in 2014-15 was to make an affordable smartphone. So all of these were very budget smartphones. When I say budget, it's like 5-6 thousand rupees for these particular devices. And then Google's strategy kind of changed. They kind of figured out that the Android One program is not reaching the kind of audience they were earlier expecting. People weren't really going for these particular smartphones because for them they wanted the maximum possible features at you know whatever price they're paying. So they switched their approach and basically Android One then became a certification program wherein manufacturers could enroll in that program and they need to meet the particular criteria for Android One devices, and that's when Google allows them to brand it as an Android One device. And one of the main reasons why this kind of you know research is required is that the phones that are a part of this Android One program guarantee 2 years of Android software updates and about 3 years of security updates. So that is something unheard of on an Android smartphone. You don't really get more than a year of support, probably 2 years of software support, that too on a flagship device. So that is something, you know, that kind of helps Android One program smartphones stand apart. So Motorola was one of the other manufacturers, like you said, to be a part of this program, and HMD Global, ever since it brought back the Nokia name to the smartphone industry, that has been making all phones, like all of the phones that are currently in the Nokia portfolio by HMD Global, are all under the Android One program. You know, I think at this point, Motorola has dropped out of that program because we no longer see their newer devices certified to be Android One. They do say that they are going to give like 1 year of software updates, but they don't promise anything beyond that. Xiaomi again has been a part of this, but when you look at Xiaomi's portfolio with respect to the phones that they launch under the Mi and the Redmi series, the Android One programs, they've only launched like three smartphones, so one every year. So it was the Mi A1, which honestly was a decent phone, but it ended up being a disaster with a lot of failures and stuff. The Mi A2 came in later, and now the Mi A3. And there, what Xiaomi has honestly done was the Mi A3 was heavily compromised. So you had like an HD plus display at a time where even cheaper Redmi phones had a full HD plus display. So these are changes that were there on Xiaomi's end. Now, with respect to Nokia, Nokia has been offering very pure stock Android, and they do promise it. And even if you check Gadgets 360, the news section especially, you'll constantly see news of phones like the Nokia 7.2 and even older devices getting upgraded to the latest version of Android. So I remember reading about the Nokia 7.2 getting the Android 10 update. So they have been true to the promise. I wouldn't say that they have been very quick on delivering software updates, but they have been delivering software updates at a fairly decent pace. And the one thing that I did see with the Nokia 5.3, at least, is during the time that I reviewed it, it got security updates at a constant pace. So right from the May security patch, which was on the device when I unboxed it, right till the August security patch. So I think in terms of security patch, at least with my experience with the Nokia 5.3, it has been fairly good. The track record has been good so far. Now, if Nokia is going to deliver software updates at the same pace or intensity as well, that I think that remains to be seen.
Yeah, that's what. And we've, like you mentioned, like we've seen that the pace of updates is quite different for different devices. I think the Nokia 5.1 Plus was a very good example of this. The phone was great, and we were pretty happy to see it discounted to something like 9,000 and 8,000 at one point. But you know, the update for Android 10 took a long time to reach that one. I think other phones, more expensive devices, got it before this one did. And security updates, while, you know, these things have been timely, again, that's like a change from most other smartphone manufacturers, you know, what they provide in terms of software supports. But that alone is not enough. I mean, the whole point of this program is that you have to get fast updates, even if it is guaranteed. What's the point if it comes in like 6 or 8 months later when you're looking at a phone with degraded battery capacity and you're wondering whether I should upgrade or not, and will it impact my battery life and things like that? When you start having those doubts, at that point it may not be the best idea to roll it out. So faster updates would definitely help here. I feel that very strongly, but at the same time, we, like, you know, are in a position where we are saying we can't really criticize some companies that are giving these updates as opposed to many, you know, who are not giving those updates at all. So yeah, so a lot of things on paper look great about the Android One program, but in reality, when you look at the execution of this program, a lot remains to be like desired, right? From so I mean, the theme that I wanted to touch on here is that Nokia has gone all in on this, but are Nokia devices really competitive at every price point? Because from what I can tell, based on our reviews on gadgets360.com, it's quite evident that they barely make the cut in the top three devices in any budget segment.
True.
So why do you think that's there?
So when you look at, say, the Nokia 5.1, and you know, it's honestly a very good example that you brought up, because that smartphone was well equipped. So the kind of performance that you got in, and I remember that smartphone was launched at around the 15 or 16,000 rupee price point, which was slightly on the higher side when it was launched. But a few months later, the price did go down and it was available under 10,000 rupees, which was fantastic value. Now, with respect to these particular smartphones, I'm not sure what kind of resources go in behind getting the certification. So that could be a cost that gets added and it's pretty much passed on to the customer here. Now, when you're looking at, say, a Nokia device, now, I were to talk about the Nokia 5.3, so I would say that yes, it does not have the outright specifications to, say, compete with equivalent Redmi smartphones or even Realme smartphones at this price point. So the choice of the Qualcomm Snapdragon 665 SoC, honestly, I think they could have gone with something more recent, say, probably the MediaTek Helio G90T. But it was probably not possible is because this is a global product and they are shipping the exact same product worldwide. So this phone was launched I think around March internationally, but it was August till it came to India. So it could be there that while other smartphones that came in India during the lockdown period, they were updated. So you consider the Realme 6i, the Redmi Note 9 Pro, the Redmi Note 9. So these were updated while this device couldn't come to the market. So it's a little late to the market, because of which I think the specifications are definitely getting affected. What Nokia could have done is, one, either price it a little too aggressively so that they do more volumes for this particular smartphone, or probably don't bring the Nokia 5.3 in at all. Bring in something a little more powerful that can compete with the device. So the 13,999 rupee price point, that is where the Nokia 5.3 starts, and I think it's slightly on the higher side. Well, you do get software updates, but I don't think that should be the one reason for you to command that high of an update, that high of a price, because the alternatives available at the same price do offer better performance.
So that's what I'm wondering. You know what you mentioned about the price being passed on to customers, right? About with the
Google's.
Word-on program.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. So I'm thinking that it's not just the price of the certification that is being passed on. Many of these manufacturers add some bloatware, na?
Yes.
So that price is something that they
Absolutely.
get paid for, right?
Absolutely.
So what do you think about that?
See, there are a couple of things as well. So what I would say is, one, if you are enrolling a particular device in the program, you need hardware. So your SoC needs to be compatible for 2 years of software updates. So you will have Android One devices with a certain set of hardware, because when you change the hardware, then you need Google's approval that, okay, this hardware will be supported 2 years, because only Google knows what Android 11 and 12 will have in store, right? So that's the only way that these hardware needs to be approved by Google for use, and or you rather have some hardware that is pre-approved. So that kind of limits Nokia's reach for different hardware, so they cannot go ahead customize everything. And like you rightly said, the bloatware that comes pre-installed on the device, advertisers or these app people pay the companies to pre-install apps on their smartphone, which kind of helps the companies lower the price further, because it does not hit their margins. They're getting money from another source. Otherwise, they also have stuff wherein you constantly get notifications or ads on your device, and the manufacturer is compensated for it. So that way, the Nokia does not have anything of that sort on it, and like you said, that could be one of the reasons why the price is slightly higher than the competition.
Yeah, true that. So at this price point, you are now getting smartphones with the 90 hertz refresh rate.
Yeah.
I believe you reviewed the Realme 6i, right?
yeah
That was
so
one other device.
yeah so at this particular price point, you don't really have a lot of smartphones that get a 90 hertz panel. So I'm talking sub 15,000 rupee segment. You have the Realme 6i, I think, and the 6i is pretty much the only one that has it, because it's only when you go above 15,000 you get the Realme 6 and the Poco M2 Pro that have.
But
yeah.
development from today is Realme 7 is at 14,999 with a
Yes.
90 Hz refresh rate
Yes.
panel. So
So,
there's another option
very,
now.
very few options. But again, here you only have Realme. I think they've sourced the panel in bulk and they're pretty much slapping it on every budget smartphone that fits the size criteria, I guess. But at the moment, Realme is the only manufacturer offering it in that budget segment. So you've got the Realme 6i and, like you said, the Realme 7 today. But apart from that, it's not there in other manufacturers. So that kind of gives Realme the edge. Even if you consider Redmi, for example, it does not have a 90 hertz refresh rate at this price point. So I can excuse the Nokia for not having a higher refresh rate. you know, here because of these reasons alone.
Yeah, but the processor—I mean, processing
Yes.
power at this price point that you get—I don't think that's something that we can make excuses for at this
I
point.
com yeah. It's not possible, you know, for you to ship say a Qualcomm Snapdragon 665 at say 14,000 rupees, whereas other manufacturers were shipping it around 10,000. So the Redmi Note 8 is one example. I think it was shipping under 10,000 rupees, and it had the exact same Qualcomm Snapdragon 665. But now the price has gone up because of GST and the rupee dollar price fluctuation.
Yeah, but then better processors are now available at the 14K price point, which is where the Nokia 5.3 is at, right? And we've also seen some cheaper phones launching recently that have better performance, but we are not even going there. Like at 14,000 itself, you'll get so many other better processors. So I mean, I'm not saying that everyone needs the fastest possible processor at every price point, but I mean, a year down the line, I really worry that the 665 will start to struggle a lot quicker than what we'll see with other devices.
Absolutely. See, so there is this one theory I have. It is possible that the Qualcomm Snapdragon 665 is already approved by Google to be supported for a longer duration, and Nokia did not have any other choice, you know, with respect to say the MediaTek Helio G90T or the MediaTek Helio G85 or even the G80. That is probably not, you know, approved by Google to be used in the Android One program, because they see, because for a device to be supported for 2 years, all of its sources are required for the developers to develop around it, like, you know, so that they ensure that all the software that they are developing is going to work on a device that is 2 years old. So it could be possible that Nokia did not have any other alternative. But I do think, like, and I do agree with you that they could have priced it a little lower. And the other point you have raised is very valid as well, that the 665, 2 years down the line, when you're probably running Android 12, will it be as fast? And I think I have got some doubts that about it running very well, because when I was benchmarking this, the scores were not that great. So if I were to compare it, say, to a MediaTek Helio G90T or you know, other processors around this particular price point, it is a little weak. So I do
Yeah, I
have some
mean,
doubts. Like with respect to your regular usage, it might just work. Gaming, I doubt it.
yeah, true that. I mean, I completely agree with you. And the point about that long-term software support for any particular bit of hardware, that is actually a very interesting one angle that I had not considered. Because if you are guaranteeing software upgrades for a couple of years, you can't just take the latest and greatest processor that's out there immediately. Because in this case, the software development is relying on a completely different team. It's not like, you know, HMD Global's team is going to be sitting and customizing the software for each Nokia device extensively. So that does limit these companies quite a bit, which is why I can see some of these choices that they are
Choices,
making.
yeah.
Yeah.
So
At the same time, though,
even if
I mean, sorry to
yeah,
interrupt you.
yeah.
I mean, at the same time, I was looking at your review. Now, if I look at the, you know, good and the bad, like at the end of our reviews on gadgets360.com, you have like the section, a nice box which will show you the pros and cons of the device. So if you look at the pros of the device, what you've written here, guaranteed software and security updates, clean UI, and no bloatware, which is basically like you know, the three faces of the same thing, if you look at that. So if those phones' biggest strengths are only in software,
Yeah.
is that good enough to sell that phone in India?
See, this is a very good point that you've raised with respect to software, and we know that software is ever changing, right? It's the hardware that is going to remain the same when you say test it even 2 years down the line. The software is going to constantly change. But when you look at all the smartphones in the market, software is the one thing on most phones that we don't like. So they have added features, they've added bloatware, they've added ads, they've added spam. That's something that a user, an end user, does not like at all. Now, and thankfully, this is the only benefit of the Nokia 5.3, because we've already established that the SoC isn't the most powerful. The pricing is slightly higher. We have not talked about the cameras yet. So what you are left with is the software experience. And honestly, even Nokia knows that, you know, it's the software experience that is going to help it distinguish this particular smartphone from the rest. And that is why the Android One program. So it's only for people who are ready to pay the premium for a clean software experience who are going to go for it, I think. And I do say that software does have a very important point here, because at the end of the day, you're dealing with, you're interacting with the software, right? So if the software is not polished, if it's not neat, and one of the you know, even in our multiple debates that we have when we used to have it back in office, is that iPhones have been very, very superior because of the kind of software support it has. Of course, there's no doubt that the hardware has been superior, but software also plays a very crucial role in making that hardware usable. So I think for the Nokia 5.3 as well, the software is a very, very strong point for this particular device. Which kind of, you know, is the main point why Nokia is demanding that premium. And the clean UI,
yeah,
you know, even when you look in the market, tell me which brand offers you a clean UI. Other than, I think, Motorola, I honestly cannot talk about any other UI that does not have any bloatware or does not have spam.
Yeah, in the budget segment, it's hard to find it, but
absolutely.
OnePlus, I guess.
OnePlus, absolutely. You know, OnePlus and even Samsung's One UI at a higher price point, that is where you'll get it. But these are all about...
Although we can't really give them a free pass for bloatware. They do bundle those really silly Samsung apps like Galaxy Store and whatnot with that. So that's not something that we should... You know, just because it's not maybe a me community or whatever else it is, you know, we can't really say that, no, it's not bloatware. So no, I will not give Samsung that free pass on this one. But yeah, you pointed out very rightly that Motorola is one which is known for like that MyUX or whatever they call it. That's fairly clean. And also... OnePlus is another option, but until OnePlus hits the sub 15,000 price segment, it's not really fair to say that, you know, OnePlus, we like OnePlus.
You know, this is a very good point you've raised as well. Now, we've recently seen rumors that there are multiple OnePlus smartphones being tested and they've leaked out. You can read about it on our website, but it is possible that OnePlus is also working on a sub 20,000 rupee smartphone.
Yeah, at that point, it'll be really, really hard to recommend these Nokia devices.
Absolutely.
Because OnePlus is known for very fast software updates as well. So,
true. So
yeah,
I think that remains to be seen what Nokia also does, or if Google changes the Google Android One program in order to benefit these phones. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, a lot of challenges coming towards Nokia very soon. But I still admire their determination to stick with Android One. It gives them like a unique talking point. But you know, at the same time, I do feel that it's great for us. We know what we want in our smartphones. We know how to set it up. So we'll be very happy with these devices. But a lot of people will want things, you know, that I would consider as basic features. You know, stuff like a voice recorder app preloaded on the device, a screen recording feature. Things like these may not always ship on these smartphones, and you know, finding the right one, installing them, knowing which app is shady, which app is not shady, which one you should install, these things may be a, you know, bridge too far for some people. So I guess Google should make some concessions for these Android One devices where they bundle some basic things, because remember, like, these are budget phones. Most people who are going to be buying these will not exactly be tech enthusiasts, even though, you know, you and I, we like to think that, okay, a lot of people are like us. The reality is that the majority of people are not as into about technology as we are. So, you know, that is where I think Google should make some changes. I guess with Android 11, some of these things are happening. I think the screen recording thing is being fixed finally. So only took them, I don't know, some 10 years of to get there. But that's one thing that's there. But yeah, in general, I feel that what Motorola has done, adding some things like those gestures and some useful tools in the UI, and maybe what OxygenOS has done, like adding some nice customizations like that Zen mode and other things which add value, those should be added by Google itself so that the manufacturers don't have to ship like a bare bones phone. So I think the final thing I want to discuss here is the camera performance on the Nokia 5.3. Is that something to look forward to? I mean, if you can just briefly sum it up, then we can, you know, do that and wrap this episode.
So in terms of the cameras, so, you know, quad cameras is something that's pretty much a trend these days. And the Nokia 5.3 also has quad cameras. Now, the choice of cameras is a little interesting because the primary camera on this thing is a 13 megapixel camera. And usually at this price point, you find 48 megapixel primary sensors, which give... you know, do oversampling and give you a 12 megapixel output. So you first get a 13 megapixel camera, 5 megapixel ultra wide angle camera. Again, the competition offers 8 megapixel ultra wide cameras here. There's a 2 megapixel macro camera and a 2 megapixel depth camera. So in terms of the setup, I would say that it could have gone for better hardware here. That is something the competition has, but these are the sensors that Nokia has chosen to go with. And in terms of the quality, what I would say is, it needs some software tweaking because if you know, when I was reviewing this device we had an overcast condition here in Mumbai, so most of the photos were not clicked in very brightly lit environments. And in that light, what I could see is even in daylight, it did have some amount of grain in the output. Now, this is something I wasn't really expecting from this particular device, because I'm used to devices with 48 megapixel cameras, because they oversample the, you know, they do pixel binning, a 4-in-1 pixel binning, they do have better quality. And that is where the Nokia 5.3 kind of lacks. And software optimization could help it, you know, process the image better. Now, the 5 megapixel ultra wide angle camera is lower on the resolution bit. There's nothing you can do. But again, you can tweak it for quality, because this too has grains. Low light camera performance was decent. You do have to keep the phone a little steady for longer for it to take a decent shot. But grains, the issue of grains is something that's still there. Details are decent. Night mode, again, it gives you a brighter shot. As usual, you have to wait for 3 seconds for it to process it, because the 665 does take its sweet time. And portraits and all were good. No issues there. Selfies, again, were decent. In terms of video recording, I could not find any stabilization there. So
that really sucks.
That is a problem. And also in this price range, I think there are a few smartphones that offer 4K video recording as well. This I don't recollect had 4K video recording. So it was actually the primary camera did have 4K video recording, a 1080p for the selfie camera only. So that way, you know, you do get decent footage as long as you're, you know, standing still and shooting it.
Buy a tripod.
Yeah. So the moment you start walking, it is a little shaky. There's no stabilization that is doing. And I think it could be that the 665 is not capable of processing it all at the same time. So the cameras are a mixed bag. But again, it all depends on Nokia. If they tweak the software. See, because cameras have always been relative. We've seen multiple smartphones where the camera performance has improved or even degraded because of a software update. But at the time of reviewing it, I think, and I've also mentioned that the camera does need a software update to fix a lot of stuff.
Yeah, true that. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, it's anything exceptional here, the camera performance. Most people will not be particularly pleased with that. So, until there is a price drop on this one, or there's some kind of a Diwali discount or something, I don't think it's very easy to recommend the Nokia 5.3 as a great choice in this price range, considering the competition.
Yes. So, you know, surprisingly, I know a few people who are willing to pay a premium for Android One program. Now, I'm not talking about myself. I wouldn't pay a huge premium for it. But there are a few people. Now, especially for the elderly, I think this smartphone would work because they want something that is easy to use. They get startled by ads or notifications on their device because they don't know what to interact with. And one other thing about Nokia that I would want to point out is the build quality. Now, of course, it's not going to shatter the floor when you drop it, but I think it can take a couple of knocks. It's like its predecessors in a way, where the build quality is really nice. It does feel like, you know, 2 years down the line when you're going to get a software update, the phone is still going to survive. It's not going to like be held together with rubber bands and stuff. So that is one thing I really like about the Nokia build quality. So for people who don't really need a, like, you know, it's not their primary smartphone, a secondary smartphone, for example, or for the elderly, or for even someone who's not going to be gaming on their device and wants it for basic calling and all, I think it would work. One other thing I think we missed was the battery life and the battery capacity of it. So 4000 milliamp hour battery, and I think you'll agree that it's not the highest capacity or even close to what the average is these days, because Redmi and Realme, I think they're offering what, 4300 and 5020 milliamp hour batteries in pretty much all of their smartphones. So the 4000 milliamp hour battery is slightly small, and there is one advantage to it and one disadvantage. The advantage is that the phone is not thick. Like, you know, you look at the Redmi phones coming out, they feel bulky. This does not feel all that bulky because it's a little slim, and the charging time is also lower. But the problem is that you're not going to get very, very good battery life. One day, 1.5 days if you stretch it, but the next day you will have to charge this device. And even in our loop test, I think it managed about 12 hours. So it's not all that great. So that is something you need to keep in mind.
The conclusion that I'm, you know, reaching right now is that there is an audience for the Nokia 5.3, but it is increasingly looking like a slightly niche audience, one that doesn't care that much about the latest hardware or the max possible camera performance. But, you know, somebody who wants clean UI and regular updates, no bloatware, and wants to set up the phone the way they want to. And of course, somebody who's not going to be sitting and gaming on this device 24/7. It's like a really nice secondary smartphone to have, as you mentioned, right? Yeah, so that's fair enough. And also, I mean, just to add one quick point, which I just noticed, a new story went up on gadgets360.com that says that Nokia 2.1 is getting the Android 10 Go edition update. That phone has 1 GB of RAM and they're still supporting it. So, you know, kudos to Nokia on that front for sure. But at the same time, it's not unfair to say that Nokia should be doing a little better and giving us a little better in terms of hardware, even if the pricing is maybe slightly higher than the competition. But, you know, giving something like a Snapdragon 665 at 14,000 rupees with a mediocre camera performance, I'm not entirely sure if that's going to work for very long.
True. They need to fix that if they can offer better performance or even newer hardware. And I think this has to be fixed on Google's end as well, wherein they can pretty much authorize newer hardware to be compatible with the Android One program, because I don't know the kind of time that they take with, say, a particular hardware to figure out if it is going to be supported 2 years down the line or no. And now that hardware is getting better, we've got excellent chips these days coming out, I think the time is going to reduce going forward, and hopefully we are going to see more and more powerful devices from all manufacturers, not only Nokia. But I think if I'm talking about Android One, I can say that, you know, Nokia is going to hopefully bring out better devices in the future. But yeah, at this point, the Nokia 5.3 is what you have in the budget segment, and that's the only one.
Yeah, true that. So not too many choices right now. What you have, you know, you just have to live with that. All right, then, thanks a lot, Aditya. That's all for this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. You can go to gadgets360.com and head to the review section to read what Aditya has written about the Nokia 5.3. Lots of excellent camera samples as well over there for you to check out. That's something that we can't show you on the podcast, so you can definitely go to the website. We also have a video review on our YouTube channel, so definitely go check that out as well. And finally, if you're listening to this podcast on any podcast app, please rate this, review it, and subscribe to this podcast. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening.